From the San Antonio Express News, this is The Docket with courts and crime reporter Elizabeth Zavala as she breaks down the trials in the Bexar County Courthouse. I'm Joy Marie Scott. A gruesome killing from earlier this year involved a teenager. He is accused of killing his mother with the help of a friend, and this is our topic this week on The Docket. After another hiatus, we are back. So the case we are discussing this week involves Matthew Dempsey and his friend Daniel Saucedo. They were both 18 at the time, but now they're 19. They were arrested and charged with capital murder in the death of Matthew's mother, Mary Helen Dempsey, on April 8 of this year. She was 53. The cases we've discussed usually are a few years old, but this case is from 6 months ago. So, Elizabeth, how did that come about?
So, yes, it's great to be back to talk about all of the cases that are starting to crop up at the Bexar County Justice Center. And as you mentioned, this is about Matthew Dempsey, and he has reached a plea agreement between prosecutors and his defense attorneys that if he agreed to plead guilty to a lesser offense of murder and cooperate in the case involving Daniel Saucedo, he would be sentenced to 42 years in prison. Now, this is different from capital murder, which carries a maximum penalty of death by injection or life in prison without the possibility of parole.
Remind us of the actual crime. I mean, Matthew's sister is the one who found their mother, correct? And she's the one who called the police on what was a horrifying scene.
Yes, this was, all these cases we talk about were really tragic. Jessica Dempsey called police after she arrived at the house. Mary Helen Dempsey lived on the west side on Stagecoach Lane. And when her daughter got a call from her mom's employer because she hadn't shown up for work, she went to the house. And when she got there, she told police that the door was unlocked, so she went inside. And as she walked through the house, she realized that, you know, it kind of looked like it was a little ransacked. And she found that her mother was dead. She was lying in a pool of blood, and a blanket from her bedroom was covering her body, and she had been left in the living room.
So do we know what prompted this?
Since we didn't go to trial on this, there was some research that had to be done on this to see what happened. Because, you know, usually when you go through the trial process, you know, you hear from the moment police arrive until, you know, you go through the entire steps with the medical examiner's report and witness testimony and all of that. But because Matthew and his attorneys have reached a plea agreement with the district attorney's office, you know, I wanted to see a little bit about how this tragedy occurred. So what we know is that an arrest warrant affidavit that came out at the time that this incident happened stated that Matthew used the key to his mother's home to get into the house. And he had been living away from there for a while, possibly with his father at another location. So going through the court records, these teens wanted to steal as many items as they could and leave as soon as possible. But Mary came home early and appeared to surprise them. And what we were able to find out was that Matthew, at that point, grabbed a bat and he hit his mother from behind. And at some point, Daniel also began hitting Mary with a bat. And the document went on to say that Matthew admitted to police that he went to the kitchen, grabbed a knife, and he slit his mother's throat. And then he allegedly told Daniel to bind her with duct tape And they took that blanket from her bedroom and they covered her up and left her in a pool of her own blood in the living room. So after police talked to neighbors, they sought out Matthew, who was arrested the next day, April 9th. And then on April 10th, they arrested Daniel Saucedo. Mm-hmm.
You said they wanted to steal from Mary Dempsey. What did they take?
You know, according to court records and that affidavit, we know that Mary's Honda Accord was taken, because when Jessica arrived at the scene, it wasn't there. And they also were able to find out that they took credit cards, and they were able to withdraw money from Mary's accounts at an ATM. But it's really unclear, you know, what else they might have taken from the home.
Do we know, was Matthew living with his mother at the time?
You know, he was arrested at a mobile home that was, I believe, off of Southwest Military mm-hmm. Drive. So it's unclear, you know, he was only 18 years old at the mm-hmm. time. I mean, I would assume that he was, you know, he could have either been living with another relative, his father, a friend even. But, you know, 18 years old, I mean, yeah. I know that, you know, if I moved directly from my house to a dorm room at 18, so I would find it, you know, difficult that, you know, he could have had his own apartment.
Mm-hmm. So his mother walks into her home while it's being burglarized. Was there any kind of clear motive as to why she was killed?
In reviewing the court files, it looks like Jessica Dempsey told the police when they interviewed her after her mom's death that her brother and their mother did not get along. And she told police that she had feared that one day her brother might do something to mm-hmm. her mother. This, you know, sometimes this crops up in some of these cases where, unfortunately, you know, you'll see a situation where, you know, it might, you know, sometimes there's a red flag, there's a big red flag. Sometimes there's just kind of like hints that something's not going right. I can't imagine, you know, having that kind of information and then, you know, realizing the tragedy that happened afterward, mm-hmm. you know.
If there had been a trial, would we have found out if there were prior instances of violence at the home, or had, you know, police come, or history of other instances where if we had a trial, those things would have come out, but because there wasn't, we just don't know?
Not in this particular case. What we have going here, Joy, is that they're both 18 years old now. Now, there was a charge of driving while intoxicated on Matthew Dempsey's record. Mm-hmm. And I've not really done the research to see what might have been in Daniel's history, but they're 18, so it's mm-hmm. quite possible that, you know, there could have been juvenile records. And because those records are sealed because they're teenagers when they, you know, sure. commit alleged offenses, you know, you can't really sure. figure it out. But sometimes if the cases are just so, you know, the situations are so egregious and, you know, brutal. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when you do go through that trial process, sometimes in the punishment phase, prosecutors will bring out information from a person's juvenile record to just have a little more of a reason to ask a jury to mm-hmm. consider maybe a higher end of a punishment. So, but gosh, you know, they were 18 years old when this happened, and they're got 19 it. Now, and yeah. so that might be something we'll find out later when we get to Daniel's case.
And so, as you said, Matthew has agreed to plead guilty in exchange for a lesser offense of murder. So what can you tell us about that plea deal?
From what I was able to see in court that day, special prosecutors Scott Simpson and Scott McCrum, along with defense attorneys Joseph Esparza and Monica Guerrero, were able to talk with Judge Lori Valenzuela about this deal. And basically, Matthew would agree to enter a plea of guilty in exchange for his cooperation in Daniel Salcedo's case for a 42-year prison term, which he did. Mm. He stood before the judge, and she was very careful to ask him, you know, if anybody talked him into the deal, if he was promised anything other than, you know, these particular specifics, just to make sure that he understood what he was doing. Because when you go through a plea deal, you agree to plead guilty and you're sentenced, I mean, you lose the right to appeal your case. You know, when you go to a trial and you go through the whole proceedings and a jury finds you guilty, one of the first things that happens after you're sentenced is the attorney will approach the bench before the defendant is taken back, you know, to start his sentence or her sentence. You know, they will say, I'm going to be filing my appeal in the morning or something. Okay. So when you make a plea deal, you lose that right to appeal your case.
Got it. So this has been extremely difficult for the family members in court. I can imagine it's been a nightmare. Tell us what it's been like for them.
You know, in these cases when you have, I mean, all of these cases are, you know, they're just horrible. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they hit an entirely different level when we're talking about family members being accused of killing family. I was able to speak with two members of Mary Helen Dempsey's family, her grandnieces, Michelle, and her sister, Stephanie Mireles. And they were able to tell me that Jessica Dempsey, Matthew's sister, the one who found her mom's body, was not at the proceedings that day. And, you know, I can imagine that it's got to be difficult for her. I mean, you know, you got to think she found her mother, and, you know, now her brother is mm-hmm. in the middle of a plea agreement. I'm hearing that she agreed, you know, that she's okay with the agreement that her brother reached. But the other relatives that were there, you know, the two grandnieces I mentioned, and their mother, mm-hmm. who was the niece of Mary Dempsey, they don't feel that this is enough. They don't feel that 42 years for Matthew is enough, specifically because when you get these particular in all of the cases, if you're sentenced, for instance, to life in prison is considered 60 years in Texas, and they call it something like a 3G offense, which essentially means that they have come to like they call it an affirmative finding of, say, for instance, assault with a deadly weapon. It's kind of like this big legal term. But basically what it means is they've got to serve half of the time before they'd be eligible for parole. So when Michelle and Stephanie were talking, you know, after the proceedings, you know, they said he has the chance to be out in 21 years. Mm-hmm. That for them is yeah. just not enough. They're in a lot of grief. They said that this has split their family. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a fracture there that, you know, you've got a sister who's, I imagine, I've not spoken with her, but I imagine that she's in a very difficult spot, mm-hmm. mourning the loss of her mother, and now, you know, not going to see her brother, you know, free for mm-hmm. a while. And then you've got another part of the family that just sees the brutality mm-hmm. of all of it, not just the crime itself and the fact that their loved one is gone, but just the fact that, you know, another relative is accused of that gruesome crime.
Yeah. So Matthew has entered into this agreement. When will we find out more about his sentence?
So usually in these situations when you have a hearing where someone's agreed to the plea, it takes a little while for it to actually to go through, for everything to happen, and especially when you're thinking about, you know, the schedule of the court. Mm-hmm. In this case, Judge Valenzuela is likely going to set a date for that pre-sentence investigation hearing. And we're hearing that it's possible that Matthew is going to testify at okay. his pre-sentence investigation hearing. And, you know, this usually happens about a month after they sign the papers and decide that this is the way they're going to go. So I would assume that we'll be looking at this for early December.
Okay. And what about Daniel Saucedo?
Daniel is still charged with capital murder, other felony. And in looking at his court file, it doesn't seem that there's any paperwork in there or on the online file that shows that there's been any sort of agreement or motions regarding that. So right now, he has a court date before Judge Valenzuela in early December. So we may know more at that time, and certainly once Matthew Dempsey is sentenced, you know, depending upon what he says, you know, we should find out more about that other case then.
So if Daniel goes through the trial process, then there will be an opportunity perhaps to learn more about what happened and why from his perspective.
Right. It really will, because one of the things that, you know, like I mentioned earlier when we were talking about it, you don't really get into all of the testimony and the details. Mm-hmm. But when you go through an entire trial, you start from the beginning. You hear from the first responding police officer who's answering a call, from the people who are administering, you know, life-saving measures if someone is, you know, or to check to see if someone is able to be revived. Sometimes you even hear from the 911 operator who took the call, who might, you know, describe what they did. So if he does go to trial, we'll go through the whole proceedings and hopefully be able to hear maybe more of a motive as to what happened.
Because the big question is, you know, why did they go through the killing of her? And
right.
So that is where we might have more answers to
okay.
that. We can follow this particular case with Matthew Dempsey and Daniel Saucedo, as well as all of Elizabeth Zavala's crime and court reporting at expressnews.com. From the San Antonio Express News, this is The Docket. I'm Joy Marie Scott.